Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. From our competitive nursing programs to our world-renowned theologians, we prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnston, with today's guest.
Dr. Gary Hartenberg is the director of the HBU Honors College and an assistant professor of philosophy. He specializes in ancient philosophy and especially enjoys exploring business ethics. He teaches at the undergraduate level and in the Honors College and at the graduate level. Welcome, Dr. Hartenberg.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us about how you came to HBU.
Sure. About 5 years ago, I was asked to come out to HBU. I just recently finished my PhD in philosophy in California, came to HBU, was asked to sort of take over the Honors College. It had been in existence since 2008. The Honors College was one of the first things, as you know, that Dr. Sloan established when he came to HBU. The Honors College at that point had grown in terms of both students and the number of courses that students were required to take in the Honors College. So I was asked to come out here from California and move to Texas, and so here I am.
And you did your PhD work where?
At University of California in Irvine. And I studied ancient philosophy there. I wrote my dissertation on Plato and ancient philosophy.
Yeah. What attracted you to philosophy?
I did my undergrad at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. And when I went to Moody, I went sort of not really knowing what I was interested in or wanted to do, but I felt that God was calling me to do something in ministry. So I got to Moody and I didn't think that the pastorate was right. I looked around, but then I eventually actually took a summer school class in philosophy. And it was the first time that I really had a class where I thought, I could see myself studying this for the rest of my life and not getting bored of it. And so that professor of that class turned out to be a real mentor of mine. So I studied it more with his direction. I applied to a couple graduate schools in philosophy. But it was really that sense of, here's a topic, here's a subject that I could study forever, it seems like, and not get tired of it, not exhaust what it had to offer. And I'm sure people in other disciplines would say the same things about their disciplines. But for me, it was philosophy that really sort of grabbed my attention, with the kind of endless questions, the wondering, the pondering, the considering, thinking about things from every conceivable point of view and then some. So I would say, yeah, it was the one discipline, one topic I thought that, wow, there's a lot here, a lot more than meets the eye anyway.
And how did you end up at University of California, Irvine?
So after graduating from Moody Bible Institute, I applied to a number of graduate programs. I ended up at the master's program at a university in Southern California. And then from there, after I finished, I applied to PhD programs. University of California, Irvine had an excellent program in ancient philosophy. So my wife and I decided to stay in Southern California, majored in ancient philosophy at UCI.
Yeah. I was looking at best schools, the 50 top living philosophers, and they mentioned J.P. Moreland and William Lane Craig.
Right.
A few were Christians among that lot, which was really quite gratifying.
Yeah. Dr. Craig, Dr. Moreland, both former professors of mine, really benefited from that. Glad to see them honored. Yeah, philosophy is, I don't know, it's one of those disciplines in America anyway that has a sizable sort of distinctively Christian group of philosophers working in it. I don't know about other disciplines, say in the sciences or, you know, the professional schools or even something like that. But philosophy, mostly, you know, work of Alvin Plantinga, other philosophers like William Alston and Robert Audi. These were Christian men, philosophers, who really sort of paved the way for Christians to do philosophy seriously at the highest levels.
Last summer, we filmed with Richard Swinburne in Oxford at his home.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing to spend time with him.
Yeah, he's a real treasure. I think I've benefited from reading almost everything he's written. I have a copy of it on my bookshelf. I think very highly of Dr. Swinburne.
How important is it, I mean, for an undergraduate to understand philosophy? I mean, they're affected by it, whether they realize it or not.
Yeah. I think for most of the students who take philosophy, it does two things for them. One, it introduces them to thinking critically. Mm-hmm. So that a good philosophy professor will be able to say, you know, in the first week, to all of the students, you believe lots of things, but why? And give me some reasons. Tell me about this. And that really gets students to be reflective, to think, do I have good evidence for these? Do I need evidence for these? What sort of reasons do I have? So that thinking critically, hopefully students also take a course in logic so they learn the rules of good reasoning and how to reason well. I think related to that, the second important reason is thinking about things from different perspectives. College students in particular, at a time in their life where they are moving out on their own, or even if they're staying at home, right, they're growing up more and more into their own selves. And so learning to understand, how might someone else think about this? And as you know, HBU is a great place for that. We have students from all different backgrounds, all different walks of life. And to teach a philosophy class with that kind of mix of students is something very different from walking into a classroom that's largely just one type of student. So students in the philosophy classroom, they really do learn to think about things from lots of different perspectives.
So what would be your primary textbook in the undergraduate level?
So the intro to philosophy class at the undergraduate level actually doesn't use textbooks. So the good thing about philosophy is, so one book we read is a short collection of dialogues by Plato. Mm-hmm. But I tell my students on the first day of intro to philosophy class, we're giving you these books, and these are the books that the experts read too, right? It's not like you take an intro class and we give you the intro books, and then you take the expert class and you're reading totally different books. No, the books that the intro students are reading are the same books that the experts are reading. So students in an intro class here would read Plato. They might read some Aristotle as well. They would read some medieval philosophy, probably by Thomas Aquinas, something like Descartes' Meditations. And then as we get into the modern era, we get sort of real critics of Christianity or theistic belief in general, like Nietzsche. We'd also read some ethics, John Stuart Mill, and things like that.
In London, I spent time with A.C. Grayling, and notice that some philosophers are very committed atheists.
Right.
Why is that?
I would say the majority, right, people like Grayling are still atheists, or at least naturalists. I don't know if people would, if philosophers even, would describe themselves as atheists. I mean, obviously some of them would. But more common is to say that I'm a naturalist, and that the sort of the God or the religious question is kind of for my private life, for my non-philosophical life. I may go to church even. I may be, you're familiar with the idea of spiritual but not religious.
Yeah.
I would think you would probably find a good number of philosophers who would fit in that category, maybe even more than just out-and-out atheists these days.
You know, the Saturday, rainy Saturday, we were with Grayling. We got done filming, and he played me a audio message that he had just gotten from Richard Dawkins, where he had had a minor stroke, and he sent it to a few friends. But I think it's interesting that in God Delusion, Dawkins he's pretty vicious toward Richard Swinburne.
Right. Yeah.
And Swinburne obviously, in his response, said, you know, first I asked Dawkins, "Are you a theologian?" Mm-hmm. He isn't. So God Delusion is nothing but a theological treatment by someone who's not been trained in theology. But Swinburne, you know, critiqued even the intellectual caliber of God Delusion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does the book industry skew to the left, like the media? Do they have kind of the culture in their favor?
I guess there would be different types of different levels of the book industry. So you would find a press like Oxford University Press,
Well, let's take them for example.
I would say probably that's probably one of the top, if not the top,
right,
publisher of works of philosophy in the last 50 years anyway. But you do find our old colleague, Jerry Walls, right, mm-hmm, published books with OUP.
Yeah.
Many other philosophers, I believe Swinburne's books are primarily published through OUP. So there is, I don't think at that level, a kind of at least evident bias or prejudice against the works of Christian philosophers or philosophers who are friendly to religion. Now, as you get sort of towards the more popular side of things, I think what tends to happen is that the Christian philosophers move to the Christian publishing houses.
Right.
And then that sort of means that the secular publishing houses are almost by de facto, you know, just publishing more secular works.
And media drives publishing. And we know the media does play to the...
Yeah.
To the Loud Dawkins, the Sam Harris, the,
right, yeah,
the
yeah,
Four Horsemen, you yeah, know, et cetera.
Yeah. So I would say, so the, Richard Swinburne is a very soft-spoken man.
Right.
Very, very cool, calm, right? When he works through the arguments, it's step one.
Not going to be on Twitter right, every right, day.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about, let's segue for just a minute. Sure. You're assistant professor of philosophy, but you're the director of the HBU Honors College.
That's right, yeah.
So explain what the HBU Honors College is.
Sure, sure. Yeah, that's actually where I spend most of my time these days, directing the Honors College. So the Honors College is the university's campus-wide honors program. We work to admit the top 10% of students academic-wise coming into the university.
GPA?
GPA, but also test scores are an important thing.
Test scores in?
In the SAT or some equivalent standardized test. But also we look at, so there's a separate application for students to apply to the Honors College. And as part of that application process, the students go through an interview, either with myself or another faculty member in the Honors College. But we ask them to send us a short writing sample that we evaluate. And then as part of the interview, we ask students, you know, what do you love about learning? Like, do you like books, right? Do you want to, in some cases, do you want to actually have an impact on the culture for the kingdom of God, right? That's an important part of our ethos in the Honors College, that we read a lot of books, right? But the goal isn't just to read as many books as we can, but to change something.
Is it a British style of learning?
So it's actually, like many things, I would say, in terms of American higher education, we try to do the best of everything. So, for example, our students attend seminars, which are discussion-based seminars, and they attend those twice a week for about 2 hours each time, 2.5 hours each time. And in that class, there's a professor. We have all the faculty who teach in the Honors College are credentialed at the highest levels. But the professor comes, but professor's job isn't to give a lecture, right? So maybe there's usually Honors College classes at this point have about 12 to 15 students. So very, very optimal student-teacher ratio. And the professor starts by asking a question about what we've read and asks students to interact with each other, talk to each other, argue with each other, disagree, really read the text carefully. So we're really looking to teach students to pay attention to a text carefully, to argue respectfully, but argue, right? I mean, if we can get beyond like, well, that's nice, you have your view, I have my view. It's like, no. There's something to dispute here. And so helping students to become comfortable with that mode of engagement is actually one of the things that, in a sense, has surprised me. Students are often, I think, too nice to each other
in a
way, right?
And particularly preparing them for the world, it's not going to be real nice.
No, right, yeah. But then particularly preparing them to back up their views, right,
sure,
to articulate it. So, so we have the seminar style classes. We also have a writing instruction. So they have a writing workshop that they have to attend that meets once a week for an hour. They get writing instruction from instructors who specialize in teaching writing. They get feedback from their students on their written work. And then they attend a lecture once a week. And for the first 2 years, the lectures are done by Dr. Marcos, who I know you've had here before.
Yeah.
And he is just a great dynamic lecturer for
Stick
our students.
Stick of dynamite.
Yeah, yeah. So he really sort of, I think, more than, or at least as much as the information that he gives them, right? He can really model for them what it's like to live a life devoted to the mind, but also in service to God, and to really inspire the students through the way that he talks about, the way that he talks, what he talks about. Yeah. So in the Honors College, sort of in the classroom, they get the lecture, they get a lot of discussion seminars, and then they get the writing instruction.
Is the Honor College 4-year?
It's a 3-year program. So a student can start when they're a freshman, finish when they're a junior. Mm-hmm. And that's so that we can accommodate all the majors on campus.
Sure.
So we have students who are bio pre-med majors, philosophy majors, English, classics, engineering, hopefully, when we get those students coming in, business. But we also do nursing majors, and that's one reason primarily for having it be a 3-year program.
And the advantage of being in the Honors College in the long term.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I would say certainly the more specialized and, in fact, one-on-one attention. So, you know, I talked about the classroom side of things. There's an outside the classroom side of things as well. And part of that is mentoring. So every student that comes into the Honors College is assigned a faculty member as a mentor. So I mentor about 15 to 20 students. That means practically, if we get down to brass tacks, I meet with them one-on-one, face-to-face, 5-6 times a semester for 15 minutes, half an hour each time to really talk about, you know, at first when we're getting to know each other, they come in as freshmen. What are you reading? What are you thinking about? What do you want to write a paper about? But then as they go on, it's more like, well, we get to know each other. And, you know, this last fall when Harvey rolled through and it was like, you know, the mentors were really able to be there for students who were hard hit by that. That was just another way that the university could say, we're here for you. And their mentors are asking them, what do you need? What, you know, so it's not just an academic intellectual sort of thing. It's a life sort of investment that the faculty are really making.
There's so many things that we could talk to Dr. Hartenberg about, and we are so delighted that you're here. Dr. Gary Hartenberg is the director of the HBU Honors College and assistant professor of philosophy. You can learn more about the Honors College. Go to hbu.edu/honorscollege. And check it out at hbu.edu/humanities to learn so much more. Of course, people are standing by to take your call at 281-649-3211. Ask whatever question you will. Dr. Hartenberg, thank you so much for joining us. And I look forward. I want to sit down with you again and
be happy to.
Let's open up the whole area of philosophy.
Thanks very much.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.